me, if you would, let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, as we look into the Word of God. And I want to begin reading in verse 7. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to preach one more time in Truth Camp, to be at Truth Camp 2018. And would you let our worship ministry team and musicians know we appreciate their able assistance? Would you do that? God has blessed us in this camp, I'm telling you. And like I said, it's an honor to be here. Thank you to Pastor Goodwin allowing me to preach. And the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth here before us is the principle of sowing and reaping. It is a law and a principle of life to sow and to reap. Be not deceived. I'm reading again verse 7. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want you to pray with me this morning. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we have assembled here today, and we thank you, mighty God, for your precious power. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this house. We thank you, God, for your mighty word that imparts to us revelation, knowledge, guidance, wisdom, and direction. Help me preach what you've laid upon my spirit for these young people, my God. And I pray, God, you'd take that word to their very hearts, stir them, challenge them, convict them, transform them in these altars this week. Jesus, we're going to give you all the praise that you might, Lord, be glorified. Hell would be terrified because of it. In Jesus' precious name, look at your neighbor and tell him we're going to give the devil anxiety fits this week. Come on, tell him we're going to give the devil anxiety fits. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God Almighty. You may go to your seats and follow along with me. Go to the book of Jeremiah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, you're the one. Oh, hallelujah. My, wasn't that wonderful preaching last night? Would you shout amen? Would you let Brother Jacob know we enjoyed his message? Oh, my. Yes, Lord. He said something that just kind of stayed with me. He said, the devil will attack the fact. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? I said, the devil will attack the true fact. That's what he said. The devil will attack the fact. That's what he's going to do. He's a liar. Would you shout amen? Say it with me. The devil is a liar. Come on, shout it. The devil is a lie. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down, Jeremiah said, to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter. Underscore that. As it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. O house of Israel. Now, turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter number 27, verse number 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel, bought with that silver the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed him. I want to preach to you this subject this morning. When the potter's dream becomes a nightmare. When the potter's dream becomes a nightmare. Now, God said to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. This morning, I want you to go with me to the potter's house. It was in the ancient Middle East or Eastern countries of that day in the Middle East. And even today, that they have potter's houses or a place, in other words, where potters make pottery, clay, vessels. He said, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. There's a lesson there. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to speak to you a message for Israel. And God began to deal with my spirit about this subject. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. There he found, as you and I will go and travel in our imagination to the potter's house. Amen. The potter's house that we're going to this morning is none other than the Lord God Almighty, Christ Jesus, his son. We are going to his house, the potter's house. There we witness as we would if we were to go there today or in that ancient Middle Eastern day, we would go there as Jeremiah went and we would witness the potter gathering up the clay, bringing it in, taking that clay and with the wheels that were there, those stone wheels, they would take that clay and place it on the wheel, would cast it down upon the wheel, go through the process of making a vessel of clay. That is where we're at today. We have come to the potter's house. Somebody shout amen. That old chorus says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. I used to sing that. Laying on my face in my bedroom, southeast Oklahoma, 15 years old, been saved with the Holy Ghost, called to preach. I'd lay on my face in my bedroom in my prayer time, and I'd sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, Lord, I am the clay. Mold me and make me still. Come on, somebody. Sang it with me, would you, this morning? I know it's a cappella, but that's all right. You sang like Brother Tom, that's all right. The Lord will forgive you. Let's sing it again. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Lift your hands, sing it. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Sing it. I'm going to put my microphone down. Let's sing it. Lift your voices. Lord, you and Steve, my God, that's where you're at today. We're at the potter's house. Look at your neighbor, tell him, say, we're at the potter's house. Proverbially so, every day, if it's not a regular church building you go into or an association and gathering, corporate gathering with the church itself, however, still every day you're at the potter's house. I said, you're at the potter's house. Jesus has gathered old earth and clay. God, that heavenly potter, Christ, our heavenly father, our heavenly rather potter, has gathered the clay, that mere earthen clay. It's worth nothing. But yet, the potter would have a field that he would go out to, and he would dig and dig and gather out earth, dirt, clay, in other words. And it didn't look like much to anybody else. That field didn't look like much. But to the potter, it represented great wealth. For there he would dig out of that potter's field. He would dig the clay and bring it in to his house, the potter's house. And there he would look at the precious earth before him, that clay earth. And there the potter would begin to take lumps of it and cast it on the wheel, begin to spin the wheel and mold it with his hands and water, spinning the wheel faster and faster as he molded the vessels that were placed on the wheel by his own hands. It is the Lord God Almighty. Come on, it is Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That left heaven's realms and came to this earth. Come on, somebody. It is the Lord God Almighty that has gone into the potter's field of this world. And it may not look like much to anybody else. I'm talking about the masses of humanity. Would you shout amen? May not look like a whole lot to a lot of folks, but to God it is a field of great wealth. Would you shout amen? Oh, hallelujah. For it is the potter who on this earth in his earthly ministry journey, as he entered into his ministry, he made his way, that potter did, to the field, to the potter's field of human earth and clay. And there he would pass by disciples who were in a boat with their father. And he would say to them, come and follow me. He would say, come and follow. And the word would say they dropped their nets and immediately they followed him. The potter would in the field was passing by a tax collector's table. Hallelujah. Passing by, and there was a tax collector gathering taxes, and they were called publicans because they were cheats. They were called publicans, tax collectors, but they were most of them were cheats. They would take more than what the Roman government ordered them to take. And that which was over what they're supposed to take, they put it in their little leather purses and kept it for themselves. But the powder walking past, I told you, that part of the field didn't look too good to anybody else. Matter of fact, the religious folks of that day, the fishermen, they didn't look that good. That part of the field didn't look too good. Come on, somebody. But the potter said, come and follow me. They dropped the nets and followed him. Passed by the tax collector, and sure enough, that didn't look good to the religious folks. But the Lord, the great potter, saw a wealth in the field. Come on. I said he saw wealth in the field. Hallelujah. He passed the tax collector's table. There was Levi, Matthew it is. He would say to him, come and follow me. So on and so forth, the Lord would pass by many, 11 disciples he would choose. Along with the last one he would choose, it would be Judas. Judas didn't look like much to many, but to the Lord, to the potter, he represented wealth. Come on, somebody. And he chose 12 men from the potter's field. He chose 12 men. He chose 12 lumps of clay, if you please. Brought them into the house, the proverbial potter's house. Stay with me this morning. I said he brought them in to the proverbial potter's house. He looked at all 12 lumps of clay there. They represented nothing. They were worth nothing. Just lumps of clay. Nobody wanted anything to do with it, please. As I said, especially the religious crowd of the day wanted nothing to do with them. But the master potter had chosen 12 lumps of earthen clay. Come on, somebody, to place upon the potter's wheel. 12 lumps of clay. Listen, say with me, that represented 12 appointments. As our preacher preached last night, they represented 12 appointments of God the Father. For God already knew them even before they were conceived in their mama's womb. Come on, somebody. But God Almighty, Christ Jesus, chose 12, and they represented 12 appointments. Come on, somebody. Each and every one of them represented 12 appointments of God Almighty, 12 lumps of clay that he chose. Not only did they represent 12 appointments, they represented 12 divine callings of God. Somebody shout amen. Woo, our preacher again preached it last night to reference him as he read from Jeremiah chapter 1. Even before you were conceived in your mama's womb, you were already called. Oh, you missed that. I said, even before you ever were conceived, you were already called. 12 appointments, 12 divine callings, Brother Barrow, lay at the potter's hands on the potter's wheel. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. 12 appointments, 12 divine callings. And then thirdly, before him were 12 visions of God Almighty. God had 12 visions before him. Come on, somebody. God had 12 plans that were already planned out by God the Father. Somebody shout amen. Come on. God had a plan for every one of them. Had 12 plans, divine laid out plans for 12 lumps of useless clay to the religious world. But to God, they represented great wealth. Would somebody shout amen? Woo. Let me go on in association with our subject from the Lord. God, the Lord had 12 lumps of clay before him lined up. They were 12 appointments, 12 divine callings. Hallelujah. 12 plans laid out, 12
other words, God, rather, the master potter had 12 dreams. Oh, y'all too quiet. I said the master potter had already been dreaming about them. Whoa, would you shout amen? I can tell you right now, the master potter knows who you are. The master potter already has a dream for you. Come on, somebody. I wish I knew how many we had in this building today, because that's how many divine callings of God are in this house today. Hallelujah. That's how many 12 divine appointments are setting in this house today. 12 divine plans of God Almighty are in this house today. Somebody help me preach. 12 visions of God are in the, rather, not 12, but 12 plus. Amen. 12 times. Everybody in this house represents that many visions in this house today. Would you shout amen? Ever, how many is in this house today? That's how many divine dreams of God are represented in this house. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in the potter's house today. Woo! My God. 12 before him. Today, many, many have come through, and many are there today in the potter's house. Hallelujah. Come through by meaning they were used and have passed on to glory, to the glory world. And many have come into the potter's house today. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Woo! You're in the potter's house today. He has a dream about you. Come on, somebody, a vision for you, a plan for you. I know that's repetitious, but I want it to sink in today, because I come to preach to you when the potter's dream becomes a nightmare. What do we do, Brother Tom, once the Father has chosen us? Come on, and we have yielded our lives as mere clay in the master potter's hand, and he carries us into the potter's house. What do we do, Brother Tom? Number one, tell you what you do. Number one, remain pliable in the potter's hands. Whew. How do we fulfill the plan, the appointment, the divine calling, and the dream, the vision of the potter? How do I fulfill it? Well, you can't do it in yourself, but all God asks of you is that you, young person, be born again, of course, being chose of the potter, being born again, yielded to him, filled with the Holy Ghost. But all he asks of you, my brother and sister Clay, amen. Ooh, if your name's Susie this morning, your last name's Clay, amen. If your name's Billy, there's Billy, amen. Right, Billy, how you doing? Amen. I think it's his name, Billy. You're Billy, huh? That's what I thought. If your name's Billy or Michael or Sean or Steve this morning, your last name's Clay. Would somebody lift your hand and shout, my last name's Clay? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You've yielded to the potter. You've been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, because God has a dream about you. He has a vision about you. So what do you do, Mr. and Miss Clay, Brother and Sister Clay? I tell you what to do. You just yield yourself in the potter's hand. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Let him roll you up. Let him smack you. Amen. Come on, somebody. I've watched my little girl grab that Play-Doh. Hey. And throw it on the ground, stomp on it. Roll it like this and roll it out. Come on. I don't know if Master Potter gets, he may get that way with us sometime, but whatever it is, I never seen that clay holler at my little girl and say, stop stepping on me. Come on, somebody. But if you were to go to a potter's house in the ancient Middle East, you would witness as that potter seemingly becomes violent with that clay. He slams it on the wheel. Come on. He rolls it around. He places it on the wheel. He spins it around and around and around. What I do, Pastor, Preacher, Brother Tom, to fulfill and to see the dream of God fulfilled. You can't do nothing, but what he asks you to do is yield to him. What he asks you to do as you yield to the potter and to his hands is to be pliable in the master's hands. I said be pliable, soft and pliable in the master potter's hand. Somebody shout amen. Woo. How do I do that, Preacher? How do I do that? Let me tell you from experience. You pray, you seek his face. Come on, somebody, remain pliable in his hands. Glory be. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God spoke through Jeremiah. He spoke to Israel and he said to them, cannot I do this with you, O house of Israel? What the potter does with the clay, can I not do this with you? Come on, somebody. What are you talking about, Brother Tom? I'm talking about, and you witness it in the history of the nation of Israel. What you witness is what we witness in Judas Iscariot. God had a dream for him. God had a vision for him. God had a divine laid out plan, appointed appointment for him, a divine calling. Come on, I believe. I don't know what you believe, but I believe when Judas started out on that 3-year ministry tour and school of Christ, hallelujah, I believe that Judas had the right intentions. Come on, somebody. I believe for a time Judas was pliable in the master potter's hand. Come on, somebody. But somewhere like the house of Israel, let me put it to you, like Paul did in Galatians where we read, somewhere Judas began to sow. You hearing me? He began to sow, not to the spirit anymore. Somewhere he began to sow to his flesh, carnal nature. Come on, somebody. And when that happened, right in the master potter's hand, that clay that was pliable became hardened. Come on, somebody. You hear me? I'm telling you right now, we're to remain pliable in the potter's hands. You say, but I go to church, I go to youth meetings, I go to, you know, maybe even go to prayer meetings. Just say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've spoken in tongues. But listen to me, friend, are you still pliable in the master's hands? Woo! Somebody hit me while I preach. You can shout, dance, run the aisle, talk in tongues. Come on, 1,000 miles an hour. You hear me? But I'm telling you right now, if that will that God has put inside every human being, if that will of yours and mine does not stay pliable in the master's hand, come on, somebody. I said, if we don't stay pliable in the master's hands, you hear what I'm telling you, boys and girls, if it doesn't stay pliable in the master's hands, that is, somewhere you begin to sow to your flesh. Somewhere you begin to go and yield to the dictates. As Romans teaches, you begin to yield, no longer yield into the master potter's hands, but yielding to your own hands, giving in and sowing to that sin nature, sowing to your carnal flesh. You can sit in church every Sunday and say, amen to the youth pastor and the pastor while they're preaching. But you know exactly if your will is not being any longer pliable in the master potter's hand. What is it, Brother Tom? What I need to do? Find a place of prayer. Run to the altar. Run to your prayer room. Fall on your face and begin to sing, thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. After, Brother Ray, thy will. Listen, folks.
little at a time. That's what happened to Judas. He sold to his own desire. Come on, his own whim, fleshly whims. Whims, hallelujah. And little by little, day by day in that 3-year journey of ministry with Christ, in that 3-year school of Christ, day by day, that clay began to resemble. I said that clay, some part of that clay got a little hard and began to resist. Come on, somebody, the hand of the master potter. Are you hearing what I'm telling you, folks? Woo, hallelujah. I'm talking about what we're supposed to do. God will fulfill every dream in this house that he has for you. God will make come to pass every vision that he has in this house, in every person here today. God will give you a divine anointing, and it will come to pass because he has anointed you. God will bring to pass every plan in every piece of clay that's in this house today. But what we must do is remain soft, pliable, humble yourself. Paul would rightly humble yourself beneath the hand of mighty God. You watching me? You hear? Hey, how many still with me today? Humble yourself beneath the hand of God. And in due time, watch this, he will lift you up. He will exalt you. Come on. Because you have remained humble, you have remained soft and pliable in the master potter's hand. Dreams will come to pass. But our part, look at your neighbor and tell him, say, stay soft in the master potter's hands. Whew. That's what we got to do to get to where he wants us. Amen. Woo! Cause when we finish this journey, life here is over. We go to stand before him. And we've been through the fire. You know, every clay pot that's made by the potter has to be put in the kiln, I believe is what they call it. Another word has to be put, Brother Dustin Brown, we have to be put in the fire. Shout amen, somebody. I said we have to be put in the fire. Ooh, that's where you separate the boys from the men. Shout men from the boys. That's where you separate the women from the girls. That's where a true soldier of the cross is separated from cream puffs. Shout worldly cream puffs. Would somebody shout amen? It's when the master potter, hallelujah, has got you to a point and he sends us, oh, I feel the anointing. Y'all better come on here. I said, oh, la masti kamaya tombre staba. I said, the master potter takes you and he places you in the fire. Think it not a strange thing, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah, of the fiery trial that is to try you. Somebody shout amen. For when that testing is over, you shall come forth. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I know you're still sleepy. You should have ate your Wheaties before you come to church. Hallelujah. I said, but when you come out on the other side, you're going to come out like pure gold. Shout, oh, shout amen. Somebody, I'm a preaching. Shout. I come to talk to you today. Oh, my God, my God. Those three boys got thrown in that fire. They said, well, let me tell you something, old king. Said, you can play your rock music in country, do-si-do and boot-scootin' boogie and lion dancing all you want to. Call it Christian if you want to. It's still hell. Shout amen, somebody. Preach, Brother Tom, I believe I will. Amen. Come on, somebody. Said you can play your music, old Nam, all you want to. We will not bow down to you and your worldly spirit of the world image. He said, throw them in the fire, boys. Woo! They said, let us tell you something. Old King, go on, throw us in there. Said, but let us tell you something. We serve a God who is able to deliver us. Shout hallelujah.
And if he chooses to not deliver us here, it's implied there, he will deliver us over there. Would you shout glory to God? Woo, they told them boys in that fiery furnace. Hallelujah. That king looked in that fiery furnace, said, my God, 1, 2, 3. I know I went to school. I know I took math and geometry and trigonometry and all that other ometry. And I count 1, 2, 3, but I see 4. Woo, shout hallelujah. They're not longer bound in that fire. There's 4 of them and not 3. And all 4 of them are dancing around, glory to God. And the 4th one looks to be like the Son of God. Would you shout hallelujah? Think it not a strange thing. We must, brother and sister Clay, we got to go through the fire. Some through the water. Some through the fire. Some through the water. Some, but we all must. And we'll go through the blood. Would you shout hallelujah? Say, put your hand on yourself. Say, I'm Mr. Clay. If you're a girl, say, I'm Miss Clay. Come on. Stay pliable in the master's hands. Oh, glory to God. Somewhere, Judas, God said, cannot I do this with you? Why are you resisting? Somewhere Judas became hardened clay in the hands of the potter. Number 2, what must I do? What else? Number 2, you must remain sensitive to the potter's touch. Did anybody hear what I said? You must remain sensitive. You have a spirit man, a spirit person in you. And when it's born again by the agency of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Christ, that human spirit in you, as it should, becomes alive in new birth. Hallelujah. Now all of a sudden you become sensitive to another world. Whew, shout hallelujah. All of a sudden you become sensitive to a spiritual atmosphere which is saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Christ becomes real. Hold your right hand out in front of you. Hold it, hold your right hand out in front of you. I've told this many times preaching. Brother Dwight Thompson's father, Brother Elder Thompson, pastored in Fort Worth. The Assembly of God, an Assembly of God in Fort Worth, in Cowtown, they called it, had a neon sign on top of that Assembly of God church. This is back in the 40s. And that neon sign flashed and said one thing: Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout amen. Brother Dwight Thompson said there were a lot of drunken cowboys. Come on, somebody, that walked into that Assembly of God church, fell down at an altar and got saved and born again. They came in drunk and went home sober. Shout hallelujah, somebody. But Brother Thompson, Brother Dwight Thompson, Elder Thompson's son, said nearly every time Daddy preached, he'd tell the congregation, hold your right hand out in front of you. Come on, everybody, do it. Hold your right hand out in front of you and say with me, God is as real as my right hand. Shout it, somebody. God is as real as my right hand. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. When you're born again, even filled greater with the Holy Ghost, you become sensitive to a spiritual atmosphere. You become sensitive to the presence of Jesus. You recognize the presence presence of the Lord. You feel his presence when he's in the house. You feel his touch many times in prayer. You feel his touch, amen, when you sing worship songs and when the pastor's preaching. What is it, Brother Tom? You, Brother and Sister Clay, that is, you are sensitive to the master's touch. Oh, shout hallelujah, somebody. Be sensitive to the master's touch. You gotta stay sensitive to his touch. We let too many things come between us and Jesus. We let too many things cut off our love for him. We've fallen in love with too many other things in this world besides Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I keep falling in love with him. Shout hallelujah. I keep falling in love with him. Day after day after day, he's still supreme in my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm still sensitive to his touch. Shout glory to God. Stay sensitive to the master's touch by the Holy Spirit, where he can convict you. The modern church don't like that word. They don't like that word. But it's still real. Would you shout amen? It's still Bible. So that the Master Father, by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost can touch you. Shout amen. It's not, you know, I don't live by legalism. I know the liberal Pentecostal church world looks at some of us in the conservative Pentecostal church world and say they're just a bunch of legalistic folks. Legalistic nothing. My Bible says there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Shout hallelujah from the law of sin and death. No, I'm not legalistic, but I walk under a new law. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. They have what they call the grace revolution going on, preaching grace in our churches, a loose, greasy grace. It's just an old lie of the devil. Brother Evangelist Jacob Smith, it's just an old lie of the devil. Come on, somebody, repackaged with a new bow tied on it. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's an abuse of God's grace. For the word of God says that the grace of God that appeareth to all men has appeared unto us, teaching us. I said teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm free. Oh, they want to call us legalistic. No, it's not legalism. I'm walking under the law of the Spirit of liberty in Christ Jesus, and I'm remaining sensitive to his touch. I'm pliable in his hands. That means at any point I could feel this. I'm going this way and I feel this. And I hear this. It's the wrong way. Or I hear this. Repent. Repent. That's wrong. Sin is for forgiveness. I hear this. Jesus loves you. You're his son. You're his child. He loves you. Stay with him. He will help you. Tapping me on the shoulder. It's not legalism. That's because I'm sensitive to the Master Potter's touch. Great God. It doesn't bring condemnation. It brings me back to the love of Christ. I'm 52 years old. Same thing, the Holy Ghost, I was 15, preaching the gospel since I was 15. And I have sinned at times. But when I sinned, I felt the touch of the Master Potter's hand. I heard the voice behind me
that still small voice behind me saying, he loves you. Repent. Come back to him. He wants to bless you. I felt this touch. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the touch of the master potter's hand. Glory to God. You've got to remain pliable in his hand. Let that will, your will, be pliable in his hand. Be sensitive to the master potter's touch. Oh, come on, shout glory to God, somebody. I said be sensitive to the master potter's touch. Hallelujah. Because he has laid his hand upon you. Never take it for granted. Would somebody shout amen? He has laid his hand on you, boy. He's laid his hand on you, girl. Don't ever take it for granted. The Oklahoma District Superintendent, when I started pastoring, Brother Armin Newbern said one day, preaching to a house full of preachers, he said this. He said, God has laid his hand on you, on your shoulder, and called you to preach his gospel. But he said, let me remind you that by the time you leave this tabernacle and get to your car, if you're not careful, that hand could be removed from off of you. Somebody shout amen. Why? Because we quit yielding our will to him. Somebody shout amen. I began to weep and cry when Brother Newbern said that. I said, my God, at the altar, let me remain sensitive to your touch. Shout hallelujah. I thank God for the hand of God that rests upon me. Oh God, take not your hand from me. Remain pliable, sensitive to the master's touch. Somewhere Judas lost his sensitivity. You hear me? Come on. Somewhere Judas lost his sensitivity to the hand of the Lord, the master potter. There were times when the master potter could pass by and touch Judas on the shoulder. Hey, Judas, I appreciate you. Judas, I love you, man. Keep on following me. And he would feel that touch of the master potter. Say, thank God, thank God. But there come a day when he no longer was sensitive to the master potter's touch. Jesus could pat him on the shoulder and it didn't mean a thing. Jesus could tell him, I love you, but it didn't mean a thing. Jesus could put his arm around him and it didn't mean nothing to him. He was no longer sensitive to the master potter's touch. Come on, somebody. He had a different agenda. He had a different goal. He had a different vision. He had a different dream. Are you staying with me this morning? Come on, somebody. We must remain sensitive to the master potter's touch in our life. If he's touching you today, you need to make your way to an altar and call out to him. I didn't say you had sin in your life, but be sensitive to his touch in whatever it is when he touches you. Come on, somebody. Yield. Be yielded to him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Lift your hand and shout. I say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. One older preacher I pastored in North Texas. He was an older preacher. I got the privilege and honor of preaching his funeral. He was a pioneer in establishing a lot of Pentecostal churches back in the day. He said, Brother Tom, I had a dairy farm. And he said, it was doing great. He said, but me and my wife went to a church. We got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, God began to deal with me to go and start a church, pioneer a church.
And he said, I thought to myself, but I've got this business all built up. I've spent years in this dairy business back in the days, and I've got it all built up, and we're doing good, and I've got great dairy cattle, good dairy cattle. They're all healthy, doing good. He said, I can't go now. I can't sell out my business now. I can't do it. Oh, come on, somebody. And he said one day, he said, I went out to milk the cows. He said, when I went out there, my prized milk cow was laying on the ground, dead. He said, I thought, my Lord and my God, what's wrong? He said, I didn't know she got some kind of sickness, I thought. Then he said, another day, I went out, and another one of my cows was on the ground, dead. He told us, said, I told my wife, I got to call the veterinarian, get him out here, something's wrong. He said, I called the vet. He came out and did an autopsy on those cows that had fallen dead. And he come back to the house and he said to that dear young preacher brother, he said, the brother invited him in and said, let's have coffee. There's good friends. He said, let's drink some coffee this morning. Sit down. They were drinking coffee. And he said, well, what did you find? He said, he took that coffee and pushed it up in front of me. He said, and this back in the day, everybody knew about God, you know, and had somewhat of a Bible education. He looked at that man. He called him by the name. He said, Mr. So-and-so, I did not find anything wrong with those cows that should have caused them to die. He looked at that man and looked at him and said, did you tell me one time, a while back, that God had called you to preach? He said, yes, sir. He said, whatever God is telling you to do, you need to do it. Come on, somebody. He said, it didn't take me long after that to make up my mind. He said, I sold that dairy business. Come on, somebody, started a church for the glory of God. Somebody shout amen. What was it? God was touching him. The master potter had his hand on him. And he said, stay pliable in my hand. What do I do, Brother Tom? Thirdly, I come to tell you to stay with it. Stay with it. Be not weary in well-doing. Stay with it. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with it. Say, stay on the potter's wheel. Say it, stay on the potter's wheel. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in the master potter's hands. What we gonna do, we gonna stay with it. I said, we gonna stay with it. Be not weary in, watch this, underscore, in well-doing. Hallelujah. Somewhere, can I tell you, I know there's millions of messages maybe that's been preached about Judas Iscariot, but can I tell you, one of my commentaries about Judas is this. Somewhere, Judas got weary. Y'all not hearing me yet. I said, somewhere, Judas got weary in well-doing. What's the use following this man? He's not going to take his rightful position. He's not going to overthrow Rome. He got weary in well-doing. Can I say something before I head to a close? Listen, I have watched conservative Pentecostal young people, young adults, who know what it is to be raised, some of them, in a conservative Pentecostal home, been exposed all their life to the true move of the Holy Ghost, preaching of God's word. Hell hot and heaven pure and righteousness in Christ. Come on, somebody, in the cross of Jesus. Shout hallelujah, Christ and him crucified. They've heard the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They've grown up in it. They've got saved. They've got filled the Holy Ghost. Come to conservative youth camps. But can I tell you right now, there are many, many scores of them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, some of them ministers, some of them maybe not, but who are following after the spirit of the world. They've come under the pressure. Some of them as ministers that their church is not. They went to their church to preach this conservative message of Pentecost. And because their church wasn't growing fast enough, are you hearing me? Like another brother's church that they met at district council or sectional council who was their age. And their church is busting out the seams, tearing down walls and building new ones. Come on, somebody. They got under pressure. Come on, somebody. And they got weary. I said they're getting weary in well-doing. Come on, somebody. And they're following after the spirit of the world.
Preaching better than you're shouting. I come to tell this 2018 truth camp. Get saved. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to a conservative Pentecostal church, evidently. If not, get in one. The one that brought you. Amen. Shout hallelujah, somebody. There is no shortcut to revival. There is no shortcut to a great awakening of God's Spirit in your community. Shout hallelujah, somebody. I preached a few summers ago in this same camp. I preached on the old ship, the old boat. I am more committed this morning to staying with the old boat. Shout hallelujah than I ever have been before. They said, Noah, you're just an old out-of-date preacher. You're just archaic. You don't know what you're talking about, you old man. You've never been to Bible school. You've never got a theology degree. You ain't got a doctorate degree. You're telling us it's going to rain. You're telling us that old thing you're building's going to carry us and save us. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hallelujah. But Noah said, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with it. It may not look pretty. It may not look good. Hallelujah. It may not be the best thing going in the church circles today. But I tell you one thing. God told me how to put this thing together. I'm going to stay with God's word. We're going to make it. Shout hallelujah. We're going to be delivered. Shout glory to God.
Counted on Noah and his family. He said, come on. God said, get on the ark. When it's all said and done, 8 souls. I'm more determined than ever before. Come on, somebody. There's not a quick way to fast growth. Shout it, man, somebody. Numbers in a way. But many of my associates, some I even was called to preach with, some that maybe not preachers, but they were raised in a conservative Pentecostal church, have gone the way of the spirit of this world, the spirit of religion. Somebody help me while I preach. My God. Don't you do it.
I said, don't you do it. God's called you to preach this gospel of Christ in full gospel and Pentecostal power. Don't you leave. Don't you walk away. I come to shout it today. Don't be weary in well doing. Don't be weary in preaching this Pentecostal gospel. Shout hallelujah. Don't be weary in being a tongue talker. Hallelujah. Don't be weary in being a shouter. I let it out. Hallelujah. A runner and a dancer. Don't be weary with living the life of Pentecost. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Stay with it. Somebody lift your hand and say, stay with it. I close with this. And it is this, that Judas lost his sensitivity to the touch of the Master. He hardened in the very hands of the potter. He became hardened. And he walked away from it. I'm not even talking about walking away from your conservative roots into a beer joint. No, I'm talking about walking away from your conservative roots
into another church, another way, that everybody can do what they want to do and own somebody. Nothing's wrong. It's all, nothing sin. It's all lovey-dovey. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about walking away from it into another church, so-called. Judas didn't stay with it. He walked away from it. Don't you think for a moment to walk away from it, resist that thought, pull down that stronghold, and shout, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay on the master potter's wheel. I'm going to be pliable and sensitive in his hands. Shout amen, somebody. The ill-famed night for Judas Iscariot came. Got up from the Passover meal, which became the institution of communion, the Last Supper. The Lord Jesus said, he that dips with me into the sop is the one that shall betray me. Judas dipped with him. And after it's all over, the Lord looked at him, said, Judas, go do what you're going to do. Come on. In other words, he said, go do what's already in your heart. God didn't plan this for you, Judas. How many still with me? It's just now about 10:30. How many still with me? God didn't plan this for you, Judas. This ain't God's plan. This ain't God's appointment for you. This ain't God's will for you. This is not God's anointed path for you. Go do, however, what you have desired to do. Come on, somebody. And he walked away from it. Went and betrayed Jesus to the elders, the Sanhedrin. Said, I'll take you where he is. And he gave them a sign. They gave him 30 pieces of silver. He gave them a sign. Come here, Brother Neesmith. Man, get to be Jesus. Stand right there. In the garden. All of a sudden, Jesus got up and said, get up, boys. Go ahead. No, first he said, go ahead and sleep. That he that betrayeth me is coming. And he came with the crew that were coming for Jesus. Judas had given him a sign. When he got to the garden, he saw Jesus. And he ran to Jesus. Kissed him. Cheek. Thank you. Once he kissed him, the temple guards came and grabbed him. They went to grab him, but all of a sudden it said they fell back under the power of God. Shout hallelujah. Oh, if the Lord hadn't wanted to go to the cross for me and you, all he had to done is, amen, called for the angels. Shout hallelujah. But he yielded himself to the will of the Father. Come on, somebody. But my point being, Judas kissed him on the cheek. They took him away. The Bible records that when Judas seen them taking him away, when he seen how they begin to treat the master, hallelujah, he come under condemnation. He ran back to the temple. He took the 30 pieces of silver and he throwed it in the temple floor. And he said, take this, I have betrayed innocent blood. Come on, somebody. My God, my God. He went out and the gospel records he went out and he hung his himself. The rope began to squeak on the limb. There hanging was the body of Judas Iscariot. Come on. A memorial for time and eternity. The elders found out about it. They took the money and they said, we can't put this in the temple treasure. This is blood money. What are we going to do with it? Watch this. Somebody said, there's no potter's field right out here. Let's buy that potter's field so we can bury all non-Jews and et cetera, vagabonds, whatever, outcasts. We can bury them in that field.
I read a little bit, and they said that potter's field had already been used. The potter had dug in it, it's just there, potter's field. They bought it with that money that Judas had received for betraying Jesus. They bought the field. Somewhere somebody took Judas when his body fell from that limb and burst on the ground below, on the rocks below. They picked up his body, and in a little procession of very few, maybe two, I don't know, maybe one, but in a procession not known, they took him to that field and they buried him in the potter's field. Come on, somebody. Buried him in the place of the potter's field, also called the field of blood. Come on, church. Come on, young people. Buried him in the potter's field. Do you see? This 12th lump of clay that started out in the potter's wheel had got hard and lost his sensitivity, walked away from it. And the potter's dream that night became a nightmare for Judas Iscariot. Folks, God would deal with our hearts today. This time come to the piano. God would deal with our hearts today. This is your year. Look at your neighbor and say, this is your year. Say, you're salt, and tell them, say, you're salt and you're light. This is your year. You're the one. But you got to stay with it. Don't let the potter's dream become a nightmare. Stay with it. Stay with the Pentecostal church. Don't walk away. One pastor, in sad tones, told me, he said, Brother Tom, my boy was raised in true Pentecost. This was just a few days ago. We were fellowship. He said, my boy was raised in Pentecost. But he said, today, he's no longer in the church. He said, he walked away. And today, Brother Tom, he's a part of a quote unquote Christian rock band. His ears are pierced, he's got tattoos all over his body. Come on, church. You hear me? God, the potter has a dream. You gotta stay with it. Lift your hand, shout, I gotta stay with it. You gotta remain pliable. You gotta remain sensitive. I want everybody to stand with me at 10:30. I want you to close your eyes, bow your head, shut in with your own conscience. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. My God. You're the one. Come on, but you gotta remain soft. You gotta remain sensitive to his touch. You gotta stay with it. You know what it is to feel the presence of God, you Pentecostal young people. You know what it is to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. You know what it is, some of you, to shout and dance. You know what it is to tell others about Christ. You know what it is to have the touch of God. But you're here today and you say, you lift your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I begin to be not where I want to be. I'm not feeling the touch like I used to. There's some areas of my life that's beginning to get hard. I've begun to
leave a little bit at a time that first love with Jesus. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of God is touching you. That still small voice is speaking to you. Hallelujah. Would you hold your hand up real high before we go? Amen. Hold your hand up. Say, pray for me, preacher. Hallelujah. I refuse to let the potter's tree become a nightmare, and I remain, and everybody comes to my grave. Come on, somebody out in the potter's field, they come by my grave. Come on, and they say, right there was where a potter's dream became a nightmare. Come on, somebody, hold your hand and say, that's me, Brother Tom. I need to feel the touch. I want to remain soft and pliable in the Master's hand. Hallelujah. If that's you, I want you to get out of your pews right now and get down here as fast as you can to this altar. Come on, everybody, if you lifted your hand, come on. Those who lifted their hands first, come on, don't be ashamed. We're in truth camp. Hallelujah, God's a dealing. You mustn't lose that touch. You mustn't lose that call. Some of you, God has called you to be preachers, to be teachers, to be preachers' wives. Come on, to be a part of the local church, a labor in the church. Don't lose that call. The devil is a liar. Come on, are every one of you lumps of clay? Come on. Come on, Brother Clay. Come on, Sister Clay. Hallelujah. Get on the potter's wheel again. Come up under the potter's hand. Humble yourself beneath the hand of mighty God. Come on, young people. Come on back to the potter's house.
to be worth it to stay with it. Great God Almighty, stay with it. It's going to be worth it. I said it's going to be worth it. Stay with it. Hallelujah. It'll be worth it for a new season.
Life is not my own. To you
new season,
I belong.
What you have sown, you sown to the Spirit. Shall the Spirit bring life.
Life is not my own.
If you sown to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Come on, somebody. For God is not mocked. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Come on, somebody, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, I'm sowing to the Spirit. I'm yielding to the Spirit.